I just pray for Rod first before we start. And so let's pray. Father God, pray that you'll bless Rod as he shares this evening, that you might anoint his words with grace and wisdom and insight, and that Rod might really speak to the hearts and souls of those who are listening this evening, that the memories of Brendan might really come to life, and that really excite people as to how we all can live for you with a passion for you and a desire for you and a will to serve you, despite limitations and despite disabilities, which we all have in some way. But the life of Brendan might prove to be an inspiration for all of us as we go on in our walk with you together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Phil. And it's lovely to be here with you late on this beautiful Saturday afternoon and to look at least on my screen and see some familiar faces from my current little pastorate down there at Oak Tree, but also to see many faces that I've known well over an extended period of time going back to when we were at St. Elf's. Let me ask you a question as we start. How do you measure the value of a life? How do you measure the value of a life? When my late wife Cheryl found that she was pregnant, we had Matthew at the time undertaking second year of a medical degree, and Stephanie was 5 years of age and she was just about to start primary school. Cheryl's pregnancy was terrible right from the beginning, and indeed her waters broke at 24 weeks. Brendan James McArdle was born on the 25th of January 1991, 618 grams, just bigger than my hand. And as Mike brings up this slide, you'll see Brendan very malnourished and indeed incompletely formed. Had little sunglasses on. That was his little certificate, his day of arrival, 618 grams. It was pretty shattering at the time. Thanks, Mike. Within 6 weeks of Brendan's arrival, scans revealed that Brendan had suffered massive neurological damage. Not sure when. It could have been through the pregnancy. It could have been at birth or soon after. The prognosis that was given to us on a couple of handwritten pages was diabolical. Spastic quadriplegia, swallow problems, communication problems, sight problems, etc. It was kind of like just so full on. The extent of the impact on the body of that neurological damage became increasingly obvious as every 6 months went by. So there were huge abdominal problems. Brendan was brought home on oxygen, stayed on oxygen for quite a period of time, came home 6 weeks after being in the neonatal unit. No vertical skills, cortical blindness, fed through a stomach tube, and no motor functions. This was a very, very broken body. But don't let the externals be the determinant of a person. Brendan was critically ill, especially in that first 18 months. He was on oxygen and he would have anywhere between 2 and 5 projectile vomits of a day, and we would have to turn him upside down because he'd gone blue just to keep him breathing. I was a very young Christian. Probably it wasn't a Damascus Road experience, but I'd probably either come back to faith or had come to faith maybe just at most 2 years before Brendan was born. So we would take Brendan to church with an oxygen tank, with him on the oxygen prongs, and we're attending Wattle Park Chapel down the bottom end of Elgar Road in Burwood at that time. Remember, as I share this with you, that Brendan had no speech. So I recall one evening, and it could be yesterday, it's so strong in my mind, this night at Wattle Park Chapel, as the preacher was wrapping up in a prayer, Brendan actually anticipated the closing of the prayer, there he is with oxygen prongs on, us holding the tank. And as the preacher goes to finish up, Brendan lets out this loud amen. It was as clear as a bell. It was unbelievable. Cheryl and I never forgot it. It was loud. It was stunning. I can still feel the hair on my neck stand up each time I tell that story. Amen. And in fact, that declaration, so be it, would indeed be a prophetic declaration by Brendan. Because in many ways, that night was really the start of his journey of ministering to literally hundreds and hundreds of people in two different states across a variety of churches, ministering to many carers who came into our home over the years, ministering in the most unique and spirit-given ways. See, in the midst of this very broken body, Brendan had a deep, deep communion with the Lord. And over his 27 years of earthly life, the depth of his spiritual life quite obviously continued to grow. Broken in body, very broken in body, booming in the spirit. How should we understand a Brendan sensitivity to the Lord Jesus? Well, we know from Scripture that the Lord Jesus died for Brendan. We know the tomb is empty, the victory of the resurrection. And we know God's immeasurable love for all. But however it works, the reality is that the Holy Spirit deeply touched Brendan McArdle's human spirit. And over those 27 years of life, with periods of really acute physical suffering, Brendan was literally a beacon of light and love. For those out there in Zoom land who knew him for some of those years, you'll know that. Love just poured out of Brendan. It was God's love. Light poured out of Brendan. And that was God's light. And when Brendan was about 4 years of age, we moved to Brisbane. I took a new position with an oil and gas company based out of Brisbane. And in two different church settings, one in Brisbane, another down on the Gold Coast, over just over 7 years, Brendan had this profound impact in both of those churches. He always had this special responsiveness to prayer. And so it wasn't unusual that someone would come up and you could see they might be a little bit awkward and they'd say, "Oh, Rod, I thought I'd just share this with you." You know, when the prayers were going along, it was like they were a bit embarrassed that they'd been looking around when someone was praying. You know, when the prayers were going on, I looked across at Brendan and he had a sense that he understood what was happening. I never realized he had that level of understanding again and again. That was the feedback that we got from people. And we lived on the Brisbane River in a lovely apartment building. And in that apartment building, Brendan just melted the hearts of people. And many of those tenants of that apartment building were people who had everything that you might have wished for as far as material possessions in this world. Well, we returned to Melbourne at the end of 2001, and we came to St. Elf's late in 2002 as Mike brings up the second slide. I wonder if people can remember this. In the old hall, one of the great St. Elf's kids' Christmas nights, and if we weren't in Zoom land, I'd actually play that little clip of Brendan being so excited as the music was being played. Thanks, Mike. It was here in this church, in St. Alfred's, that Brendan's responses to the Holy Spirit were nothing short of stunning. Brendan was 10 years of age, and he was in a loving church community that quite obviously was very, very welcoming to those with disabilities. And we started then to notice this squeal that would emanate from Brendan when certain words were spoken in a message or from the front. And there was just, there would have been dozens and dozens of times over his life when this happened. So words like or phrases, forgiveness of sins, resurrection, new heaven and new earth. You go, well, could you really say that that was connected? I go, oh, yeah, I kept a file on it. And it was just dozens and dozens of times that Brendan's spirit just immediately got excited. Forgiveness of sins, resurrection, the coming of the new heaven and the new earth. And, of course, when Ginny McPherson would come at the end of the service during coffee time, and Ginny would regularly pray over Brendan and pray in tongues, and I could see him now, his little arms, that you know he had no capacity to knock a spider off his nose, but they'd kind of levitate a little bit. They'd sort of come up like this as Ginny would be praying over him. There were so many things in Brendan's life on a daily basis that had little impact on him. He couldn't see, he'd never seen anything, he'd never tasted anything. But when people were praying for him, the response was stunning. Touched by the Spirit of God, used powerfully by the Spirit of God. I wonder if you recall the parable that Jesus tells in Luke 14. It's the parable of the great banquet. Do you remember the scene? Jesus has gone to the house of a very prominent Pharisee, and he tells the guests a parable. Let me just share it with you. This is Luke 14, verse 16. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who'd been invited, "Come, for everything's now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just got 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just got married. I can't come." The servant came back, reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets, the alleys of the town, and bring in who? The poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there's still room." And the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." Many had been invited to the banquet, but the cares of the world had either diverted them or had kept them from coming. And so the host orders the hall to be filled with who? The poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. There's those people sitting around the sort of the low floor table in the Pharisee's house heard this parable. What do you reckon they would have been thinking? It's like shock, horror. And there was still room in the banquet hall. And the master said to the servant, "Go out to the roads, the country lanes, compel them to come in so that my house will be full." Who would them be? Who's it referring to? I think it's likely the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. That is the ones who are living outside the city, the ones not so easily located. This was a banquet, if you like, for the disabled, for the marginalized. That's actually the God that we worship. The world, of course, does not put a priority on the poor, nor the crippled, nor the blind, nor the lame. But everyone's precious in the sight of the Lord. That's why the Father sent the Son to be our Saviour. And the Lord God so obviously has this very special place in his heart for those who the world pushes to the side. God's heart is a heart of love and compassion, but he's also a God of celebration. He loves parties. And the Lord has a celebration planned for all who love him that I think will just completely boggle our minds. Brendan will be at that great banquet. After I graduated from Ridley, I went to Holy Trinity Doncaster for 2 years as a curate. And Brendan's ministry at HTD was quite profound. One morning in 2006, I had a number of baptisms to conduct, and services finished, came home, sitting around the table having lunch. And Cheryl says to me, "Rod, you know, during that service this morning, the baptisms, I sensed that the Lord said to me that we should give Brendan an opportunity to express his faith in baptism." Cheryl said, "What do you reckon?" Like, "Well, actually, this morning I had exactly the same sense. Let's do it." And nearly literally no sooner did I say, "Let's do it," but it was probably a couple of weeks, Brendan fell critically ill. He spent 6 weeks in the Royal Children's Hospital, gravely ill, indeed one night in ICU. They were not expecting him to make it through the night, but the Lord brought him through it because there was lots more ministry that the Lord had for young Brendan McArdle. And so he finally got out of hospital, recovered enough to be able to come to church, and we came to the day of his baptism. And Mike, that's maybe a point where we could just put up that slide now just to get a physical feel for this. For those who never had the pleasure of interacting with Brendan, he could laugh and his mouth would be wider than Luna Park. All right, thanks, Mike. So we're coming to the time of the baptism, and I say this to the congregation. Folks, there's not a lot of point asking Brendan all the questions that are part of the baptism service in the Anglican liturgy. But, you know, all those questions can actually be condensed into one question. It's the critical question. Do you love the Lord Jesus? And, friends, that's what we're going to ask Brendan. And so Cheryl took the mic and she did just that. "Brendan, do you love the Lord Jesus?" And he gave this little noise, which we knew from over the years was him affirming, but that noise did not carry through the auditorium at HTD. So Cheryl asked him again and said, "Brendan, I'm going to ask you the question again, but make a loud noise. Brendan, do you love the Lord Jesus?" And he lets out this loud, "Ugh!" just like that. And from the back of that auditorium at HTD, there was a Mexican wave of emotion. Now, the dear folk at Holy Trinity Doncaster, they are lovely, prayerful people, but in my experience, it wasn't a place that was known for emotional displays. But that day, the Spirit changed things dramatically on the day of Brendan's baptism. And during my 12 years at Deep Creek, Brendan's responses during worship and when I was preaching were simply amazing, and I kept a Word document. They were just so stunning. People were regularly in awe. And, Mike, we might just bring up that slide of Brendan on the night of my induction in January 2007 at Deep Creek. Brendan was pretty excited, his brother sitting behind him, Matthew, and his pa on Cheryl's side, Stan, also next to Matthew. Thanks, Mike. As I tell you about his time at Deep Creek, remember that there was no point in describing a physical situation to Brendan. There was no point describing a taste to him, it would be of no avail. But the Spirit of God filled him, illuminated him in the most remarkable ways. And I would get, the only way I can describe it, it was like an excitement wave would sort of come up and go through my whole system when Brendan would try and join in the singing of the praise songs in church. And through his responses, it became so clear that Brendan knew the reality of the cross of Christ. I can't remember on the St. Elf's playlist whether you've got this song, Fire, Fall Down. I noted in my file, my word file, his response to the lyrics of this song. So verse one of Fire, Fall Down goes like this. Speaking of Jesus, you bought my life with the blood that you shed on the cross. When you died for the sins of men and you let out a cry, crucified, now alive in me. So this day I'm playing keys in the band. We had a full band. The volume was up. And we got to that second sentence of verse one. When you died for the sins of men, when you let out a cry, crucified, now alive in me. And let me tell you, friends, Brendan let out such a shriek that above that noise, and we weren't using in-ears, so there were fold-back speakers on the stage and it was loud. Above that noise, you could hear Brendan's shriek of joy, and right at the back of the auditorium, people could hear it above the music. In the Anglican liturgy, of course, each time we share in Holy Communion, we are reminded of the upcoming Mother of All Parties that will be held in the presence of the Lord. And so again and again on Sundays, Brendan would let out this shriek of joy when we came to the words in the great Thanksgiving prayer of Holy Communion. You'll know the words. Bring us with all your people, do you remember them? Into the joy of your kingdom, there to feast at your table. And the fullness of the kingdom of God will come when Jesus returns in power and glory. And Brendan, although he had this very broken body, had a heart that was on fire for the Lord Jesus. And early in the communion liturgy, which all good St. Elf's people will know backwards, you'll know these words. We eat this bread and drink this cup, and what do we say? To proclaim the death of the Lord. We do this until he returns, and everyone responds, come, Lord Jesus. And as those words would be spoken, come, Lord Jesus, time and time again, Brendan would let out this cry of excitement. So I translated his cry of excitement in these words. Bring it on. Come, Lord Jesus. Brendan was saying, bring it on, Lord. Come back. So stand back from it. How on earth does all of this work between Brendan and the Lord? I'll give you the answer. I have no idea, but the Lord knows. Now, just prior to that parable of the great banquet in Luke 14, Jesus speaks of the resurrection of the righteous. And as he speaks about it, he totally demolishes the circular world adage. You know that adage, when you're dead, you're dead? Well, Jesus demolishes it. And Brendan would literally, and I mean this, he'd have straps on his shoulders. He'd literally try and push himself up to sort of rise out of the wheelchair when resurrection was proclaimed. Whether that was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, which is an absolute certainty it happened, the tomb's empty, or whether it's referring to the resurrection of those who are trusting in him. Well, Brendan went home to the Lord Jesus as dawn broke on October the 12th, 2018. And Mike, if you bring up that slide, which we used at Brendan's Thanksgiving service, 25 January 91 to 12 October 2018. And as Brendan entered glory, he had never been more alive. And one day when the Lord Jesus returns, and that's a cert that he's coming back, Brendan's very broken body, now decaying in the earth, will be transformed into a body like that of the Lord Jesus himself. Thanks, Mike. One of the many ways that God has communicated to men and women literally down through the millennia has been through visions and dreams. And that is particularly the case, as spoken in Acts 2, since the time of the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And in my experience, sometimes the Lord will use a physical point of reference for a spiritual message that he's conveying. So about a year before Brendan went home to the Lord, I was reminded by the Lord of the Avenue of Honour in Bacchus Marsh. I wonder if you remember that, where you've got those tall poplar trees on both sides of the main road as you drive into Bacchus Marsh. And so the Lord gave me this vision of Brendan arriving in glory. It was like there were crowds and crowds of people that were lining both sides of this massive thoroughfare. And as Brendan arrives and proceeds down the street, well, there's just this thundering applause. I mean, the vision, of course, was magnificent for a magnificent young man, now fully healed, totally free, in the presence of the Lord who he adores and worships. Over the years, Cheryl and I would frequently say to Brendan what's coming up on the last slide. Thanks, Mike. Brendan, there are no wheelchairs in heaven. And he would throw his head back, his mouth would be wider than Luna Park, and he would laugh and smile. Thanks, Mike. Brendan, there are no wheelchairs in heaven, and I'd follow up with this. Not one, not even the smell of one. And friends, that's the truth. No wheelchairs in heaven. And so when the Lord Jesus returns and the physical, literal new heaven and new earth is ushered in, guess what? Wheelchair manufacturers completely out of business. No disability industries at all, completely out of work. And praise God for that. God bless you all.
I will just pray for Rod briefly. Father God, thank you so much for Rod, for what Rod has had to share this evening. We all know that we are created beings made in your image, and we're all fallen beings as well. And Ben was no different to any of us in that way. But he was anointed with wonderful gifts where he spoke out truth and really showed us the power of your Holy Spirit. And thank you for the reminder of the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And everyone who believes has the Holy Spirit, may we all connect more deeply with your presence in our lives as we go on from day to day. And pray for Rod also for guidance as he finishes up at Oak Tree this year, in January next year perhaps, and give him ongoing leading and guidance as to what the next steps are for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Phil.